All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Another incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Dalid 4. We are picking up on Gil Amud Beis 3b. We're picking up at the section that says Amos Kilayim. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our sponsors for the month of Av, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drushos this month in the Zechus, that the month of Av should be a month of incredible Simcha and the rebuilt Beis HaMikdosh. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors, Jeff and Sherry Venick, Stephen and Holly Venick, for dedicating this first parak of Erevin in memory of their father, Herman Venick, Chano Yisrael Ben Ruvain. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Howard and Aileen Friedman, in dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Howard's mother, Tilla Bas Chaim. We also thank our week of learning sponsors, Ira and Miriam Grossman, dedicated to learning this week in the merit of a refuah shalema for all those in need. We also thank our day of learning sponsors, Seth and Rachel Rotenberg, in memory of Seth's father, Zev ben Chaim Shmuel, and Rachel's father, Rabbi Yisrael Azriel ben Rav Avram Yitzchok. We thank our day of learning sponsor, Yaakov and Ruth Gordon, in memory of their beloved son, David Menachem ben Yaakov Leib, on the occasion of his 6th yard site. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, the families in Chama, and all those who require a refuah will have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And Abbasi, with that, let us begin. So remember, we began really the fascinating discussion yesterday regarding Amos. Amos, right? And again, we saw Abaye's statement, and Abaye said that when it comes to the Amos used for measuring Sukkah and for measuring Mavui, we use an Amma that is made up of 5 Tfachim. But when it comes, however, to, when it comes to an Amma of Kilayim, which you're going to see right now, we use an Amma of 6 Tfachim. So this is the Sheet of Abaye. Amos comes in different sizes for different circumstances. Sukkah, Mavui, 5 Tfachim, Kilayim, 6 Tfachim. What's the case of times? Well, it's actually quite interesting. So Amos Kilayim, Ba'amos Ba'ashish Lama Hilcha. So what does that mean when you say that the Amma of Kilayim is an Amma that is made up of 6 Tfachim? Likarachas HaKerem, Ivelim Chol HaKerem. So we'll say literally it means, Likarachas means like a bald spot in the vineyard, and Limchol for the pathway in the vineyard. Now we'll say, so we're going to see what this refers to as follows. If you have a vineyard, we know that the halacha of klaya kerem is that you cannot go ahead and plant wheat, grain, or vegetables within a vineyard, as that constitutes forbidden mixtures. However, if you have a certain amount of space in between the vines and whatever else you want to plant, and technically speaking, that is mutter. Karachas literally means a bald spot. What you're talking about over here is clearing out some part of the vineyard in order to be able to plant something else. That's what we're discussing. So the Gemara, we're going to see exactly what it means. The Gemara says as follows: so disnan karachas akerem. When it comes to clearing out, we're going to explain this by when it comes to clearing out an area of the vineyard in order to plant something else. Beishamai omrim esrim v'arba amos. Beishamai says, in fact, you need a space of 24 amos. 24 amos. They will say, the way that actually works in Beishamai's model is, he's assuming that the area in which you want to plant something else itself is 16 amos wide. Plus, again, you always need 4 amos on the side, meaning as like a pathway by the vines, in order to be able to work by the vine area. So if you can imagine, you have a strip of 4, 16, another strip of 4. That's Beis Shammai Shita. That's Halacha Lamai says when he says 24 amos would be the amount of space that you need in order to plant something else directly in the middle of the vineyard. Beis Shammai Omrim, Sheshesvi amos. Beis Shammai says no, 16 amos is enough. We'll say, so Beis Hillel agrees with the same 4 and 4. You always need a strip of 4 amos by each side of the vineyard in order to be able to use to work the vines, and then the remaining space in the middle could be used for something else. So the Gemara says, Umachol HaKerem, what's the case? We'll say, now, Machol HaKerem literally means a path in the vineyard. What does that refer to? So Beis Shammai Omrim Sheshesvi amos. Beis Shammai says that's 16 amos. So Beis Hillel Omrim Shtein Esri amos. Beis Hillel says it's 12 amos. So now let's define the cases. Ezi karachas hakerem. We'll say, what is the case of karachas hakerem? Kerem shecharav emtsa iso. It is a kerem. It is a vineyard, literally, whose middle has been destroyed. Now, when we say the middle has been destroyed, why has it been destroyed? Because you destroyed it. Because you, what you did is you went pumped into the middle of the vineyard. You uprooted vines because you want to plant something else. So now the Gemara is discussing how much space do you have to need? Do you have to leave in order to avoid klaya kerem? So ein sham sheshes amis lo yavi zera l'sham. So therefore, we'll say, according to Beis Shammai, if there is not 16 amos there in the middle, don't plant anything else. Hayusham sheshesve amos. If there are 16 amos in the middle, which can be used for active planting of something else, no sin lo kede avodaso, then you leave an additional strip in order to be able to take care of the vines. We'll say, so that's the extra 4 amos strip. Vizorea es hamosar. And you could go ahead and plant the rest. So we'll say, so that's Shitas Beis Shammai. So essentially, if you want to plant something else in the middle of your vineyard, you can do that as long as you allocate up to 16 amas of space for that new plant, plus give an additional strip of 4 amas on each side of that new thing you want to plant. Those strips of 4 amas are not for the item you're planting in the middle, what we call in the karachas. But that strip is ultimately, again, it's a. I'm sure there must be a technical agricultural term for it, but it's like the strip that you use in order to tend to the vines. Beizu mechala kerem. So what's the case of mechala kerem? Bein kerem legader. So we'll say, this is talking about, interestingly enough, this is a case where you want to plant something else between the vineyard and the wall. Ein sham shtei mesrei ama lo yavi zera l'sham. If there's not an area of 12 amas, you can't plant something else there. Hayusham shtei mesrei ama no sin lo kedei avodaso. If there are 12 amas, then Rabbi says again, you have to leave the same 4 amas in between the, we'll call it the alien item and the wall. So there has to be that strip of 4 amas, and then ultimately again, no sin lo kedei avodaso vizareas hashar. So Rabbi says fine. So therefore, what do we have to do with this conversation? It's very simple. All we begin to see is that when it comes to a discussion about klaya kerem, amos play a major role. What's the major role of amos? Because you have to distance, if you want to plant something alien in a vineyard, you must distance that new item, that alien item, from the rest of the vineyard by a certain amount. So therefore, when Abaye says that halacha lemaisa, the amount you have to distance it is whatever amount of amos, so what kind of ama are we dealing with? What kind of ama? A 6 tefach ama. That whereas by mavoi and sukkah, we were dealing with a 5 tefach ama, when it comes ultimately to klaya kerem, we're dealing with a 6 tefach ama. Good. I've hokir it sufim ba'arba amas l'kol. Now understand, we are always assuming that when Abaye goes ahead and says, for example, with sukkah and mavoi, you're dealing with a 5 tefach ama, and with klaya kerem, we're dealing with a 6 tefach ama, that those shiurim are used in order to produce chumras. I just want to say, so think about this. It's more machmir to use a 6 tefach ama by klai hakerem than a 5 tefach ama. Why? Because a 6 tefach ama requires more space. Remember again, essentially, leaving aside the machlogis v'sham b'esil, what does everybody agree on? That if you want to plant something else in your vineyard, you must leave space. You must leave space. So if you tell me then that I have to deal with a 6 tefach ama instead of a 5 tefach ama, then halacha l'maaseh, that's much more space. So fine. So I understand it's a chumrah. But it also results in a kula. What's the kula? V'yikar ritzufim ba'arba amos dila kula. So Rabbi say, what about the following situation? Ritzufim Rabbi say means if you have vines, that normally vines or rows of vines would themselves be distanced by dalet amos from each other. In other words, in a regular vineyard, you would place a distance between the rows of vines. Ritzufim are cases, ultimately, again, where the vines are planted in very close proximity to each other. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vayikar ritzufim. Gefandim ritzufim shes samchuha shur l'shur yosrem asher nastu chacham shir shim ein bein shur l'shur dalet amos eino kerem. Holo ve'ein lo kol tzarach ol hiloch agala mutal izra b'kulon. Reb Shem v'hanach amos asya milse de Rav Nachman l'kula di ika dalet amos ketanas arminan eino kerem ad di ika gidolos. So as I say, interestingly enough, if there's not dalet amos in between the rows of the vine, of the vineyard, then halacha l'maaseh doesn't have the din of a kerem. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting, that you would think that the definition of a vineyard is what? A place that has vines, right? See, interestingly, no. In halacha, the definition of a vineyard is a place that has vines that are properly spaced and properly planted. And the way it works is that each row has to have at least dalet ames in between them so that you could work each row. If there's not sufficient space, that's not called a vineyard. Then I will say, if that's not called a vineyard, that means, again, it's not called a kerem. If it's not a kerem, then it's not governed by a lot of the halachos that have to do with a vineyard. So we'll say, if that's the case in this situation, then, if you end up using a six tefach ama, that could actually create a kula, that actually creates a leniency. This non kerem hanatua pachos me arba amos, if you have a vineyard that is planted and there's less than dalet amos in between each row of vines, Reb Shimon Omer eino kerem. Reb Shimon says, it's not a vineyard. The Chachamim Omrim Kerem. The Chacham say it is a vineyard. The Rohan has and some Ki'ilu Einam. Was in the Chachamim's model, they just say that halachically, we view the interfering vines as if they're not there. In other words, when there's overplanting in the vineyard, we just kind of simply view it as if the middle row is not there, giving sufficient space between the outer rows. The Gemara says, so ultimately, again, if you use a six tefach ama in this type of scenario, so then halacha l'maisa, that creates a leniency, not a stringency, to which the Gemara says, okay, kirabonim da'amri havi kerem. So it could be that when we say that you use a six tefach ama in all cases, and that creates a chumrah, it's like the Rabbanon who say that even in an overplanted vineyard, halacha l'maisa, it's still a vineyard. V'yibayisim, the other possibility is, the olam Rabbi Shimon, v'rov amos kamar, or Rabbi say what it can mean is as follows, that halacha l'maisa, when we employ a certain type of ama in a particular scenario in order to be machmir, we understand that it's not going to be machmir in every single case, but it's going to be machmir in the majority of cases. So we use, Abaye says, we use a six tefach amma in the case of Klal Yakerem, because in most scenarios of Klal Yakerem, a six tefach amma will yield a chumrah, will yield a stringency, but we recognize that there may be a case where it yields a leniency, but that's fine. And that's, by the way, that's the answer that Gemara is given in every single situation so far. So we'll say, so this is Shitas Abaye. This is Shitas Abaye. So Halacha Mais Abaye says, five tefach ama by Mavoy and Sukkah, six tefach ama by Klaya Ken. But Rava, Mishmein Rav Nachman Omer, Rava disagrees and he says, no, Kolamos ba'ama ba'shisha. No, we always use a six tefach ama. There's always a six tefach ama. There's no five tefach ama. So what's the distinction? Ella halalu shochagos v'halalu atzavos artzevos. So we'll say, but what's the difference? See, interestingly enough, remember again. So what's a tefach? Right. So a tefach is the size of a fist. So when you make a fist, there are two ways you can make a fist. You can make a tightly clenched fist, or you can make a looser fist. And we'll say again, a looser fist represents a larger shear. So Rava, interestingly enough, says an amma is always six tefachim. An amma is always six tefachim. The difference just is that sometimes it's made with a clench. It's what's called a tight amma, and sometimes it's a loose amma, or I should say, tight tefachim or loose tefachim. Look at Rashi. Alalu shocha goes amos kilaim modedim bitfachim bitfachim gidolim v'shal soko mavoi atzavos umitzumtzamos luchumra. So we'll say. So Rava disagrees with Abai. Rava says every single amma is a six tefach amma. What's the difference? The difference is that by mavoi and sukkah we use what's called loose tefachim, whereas by Klaya Kerem we'll use a tight tefach. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ubilvad. I'm sorry. So every time the Chacham spoke about an amma is always made up of six tefachim, Ubilvad, top of Dalit. Ubilvad shlo yehe mechuvanos. As long as what? What it literally means is, as long as the amos are not exact. Now, what does that mean, the amos are not exact? So, bishlam alarava, kihechi de la havin halalu shochakos halalu atzavos. So, we'll say, so again, that price makes sense according to Rava, because what did Rava say? Halacha lemaisa. So, an amos always six tefachim. What's the only distinction? Sometimes it's a tight amma, sometimes it's a loose amma. So good. So then the price makes sense. Every time the Chacham spoke about an amma, it's always six tefachim, just it shouldn't be mechuvanos, means it shouldn't be exact, which means that although the amma is always six tefachim, it's not always the same six tefachim. That makes sense. Ela bayikasha. He'll say, but according to Abaye, this braise is problematic. What did Abaye say? Abaye said that when it comes to the Amma of Mavoy and Sukkah, it's a 5 tefach Amma. And when it comes to the Amma of Klai Akerem, it's a 6 tefach Amma. So what does Abaye do with this braise? So, Amr lecha Abaye, Ema Amos Kilayim Ba'amos Bashisha. So Abaye will say as follows. Look at Rashi just a moment. Third line down in Rashi. Ema Ema Amos Kilayim Ba'ama Bashisha. Vachi Kamar. Kol amushon bekilayim ba'ama bas shisha, obivat shlo yihum michuvanos mitzumtzamos elagidolos bitfachaim shochakos. So ultimately, again, Abaye says that this statement dafka refers to klai akerem. That halacha lemaisa when Chazal said, look at Rashi, v'hachi kamar kol amushon bekilayim ba'ama bas shisha. Whenever Chazal spoke about an ama by kilayim, that's always referring to an ama that is made up of six tefachim, and not only is it made up of six tefachim, but what? A loose six tefachim. A loose six tefachim. So therefore, Abai Dafka understands that braisa as solely referring to Klai Akerem. So the Gemara said, "Bahamid diktani seifa." Reb Shimon Gamliel Lomer kol amo shanu chachamim bikalayim ba'ama ba'shisha. But yet, the end of that braisa speaks at Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that all amos that Chazal spoke about by kilayim are an amma of six tefachim, or bilvad shelo yihu mitzum somos. And Shimon Gamliel says, when we speak about the amma of Kilei Akerem being six tefachim, not only is it six tefachim, but it's six loose tefachim. Michlal de Tanakama, kol amos karen. I will say, now the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel specifies the amma by Kilei Akerem would seem to indicate to us that what? That halacha lemaisa the Tanakama, or the Tanakama, is speaking about all amas. So Abaye says, fine, there's still Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, right? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like me, or I hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, I will say, halacha lemaisa, what comes out is as follows. It turns out, as we're going to see, that there's a fundamental machlokes. Say, I have Abaye who says that the Amma of Mavui and Sukkah is an Amma of 5 tefachim. The Amma of Kilei Akerem is 6 tefachim. And the Amma of Kilei Akerem is 6 tefachim. And what type of tefachim? So what we'll call tefachim shochakos, loose tefachim. And it appears that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that same view. Rava, on the other hand, holds that halacha lemaisa, every Amma is always a 6 tefach Amma. So what's the difference? The difference just is that by Mavui and Sukkah, it's a tight Amma or a tight tefach. And by Klai Akerem, it is a loose tefach. Zez di Gemara. So, Ula Abaye Vadai Tanoihi. So what's according to Abaye? This is a machlokes tanoim. So what's according to Abaye? The size of an Amma is a machlokes tanoim. You have Reb Shimon Gamliel who says that ultimately Sukkah Mavui 5, Klai Akerem 6, and by Klai Akerem not any 6, but ultimately a loose 6. But according to Rava, I will say that's not the case. Well, let's see. The Rava, Mile Matanahi, according to Rava, is this a machlokes tanoim? Armelecha Rava, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ha'asala Shmu'inan, Amas Kilayim Lo Yitzamsim. So ultimately, again, Rava comes along and says that Reb Shimon Gamliel is not coming to lodge a different opinion, but rather Reb Shimon Gamliel is coming to tell us that in the Amma of Kilayim, it should be a loose Amma. Should be a loose Amma. Look at Rashi. Ha'as la'shvinon Amas kam la'yitzah. I'm saying, l'ferushi milsa d'tana kamahu da'asa v'lo l'mi'utei shar amas y'bashisha. So both say, here's what's interesting. The Machlokas Abaye and Rava is how to understand Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa. According to Abaye, Reb Shimon Gamliel argues on the Tanakama. That's whereas the Tanakama says, again, for Mavui and Sukkah, 5 tefach Amma, for Kilai HaKerem, 6 tefach Amma, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, I'm sorry, just the opposite. Whereas the Tanakama will say 6 tefach Amma for everything, Reb Shimon Gamliel comes along and disagrees and says 5 tefach Amma for Mavui and Sukkah, and loose 6 tefach Amma for Kilai HaKerem. According to Rava, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not coming to disagree. Reb Shimon Gamliel is just coming to expound that the Tanakama also agrees that halacha lemaisa everything is governed by a 6 tefach Amma, and by Klai Akerem it's a loose 6 tefach Amma. V'leima amas kilei mo yitzamtzem ba'ama ba'shisha lemi'utei mai. So we'll say, therefore, when he says that amas kilayim should not be exact, when speaking about amma bas shisha tefachim, what does that come to exclude? Lav lemi'ute amas sukkah va'amas mavoi. So we'll say again, the Pashas, when Shem Gamliel says this, is it's not coming to exclude the case of mavoi and sukkah. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, lemeute ama yisod v'ama sove." Rabbi will say, "Watch this." So, according to Rava understands Rabbi Shlomo Gamliel's statement is actually coming to exclude a different ama. That there is, Rabbi Shlomo Gamliel would agree, there is an ama that is made up of five tefachim and not six tefachim. Which amos are made up of five tefachim and not six tefachim? Ultimately, again, the ama of the yisod and the sovev. So, we'll say, so the yisod, remember, the mizbeach was made up of essentially three different levels. I'll send you a picture out of this afterwards. So the yisod was a large base platform. Then there was the sovev, which is like a ledge above it, or like an area above it. Essentially, if you could imagine, the mizbeach is like three rectangles or three squares sitting one on top of the other, wider, narrower till you get to the top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara suggests as follows, that halacha lemaisa, well, let's read it inside. So the Gemara says, dichsib, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yechezkel, the ela midos hamizbeach. Ba'amos, right? These are the measurements of the mizbeach. Ba'amos, ama v'tofach v'cheika ama v'ama rochav u'gvulel svasa saviv v'zeres ha'echad v'ze gav hamizbeach. So we'll say, so listen to this. How do we break this up? Cheika ama, what does it mean when it says cheika ama? Ze yisod. This refers to the base. So we'll say, so the lowest base of the mizbeach, the bottom base, had one ama of height. So v'ama rochav ze soviv. Then when it says Amar Rachav, that refers to the base of the Soviet. And I will say what it actually refers to is as follows. There was a one Amar protrusion above the base. He had the base. And then again, from the base, there was the next area up. There was one Amar then that the Soviet extended, the bottom base extended over the area on top of it. It'll make more sense once I send out a picture. The Gemara says, Zeh Soviv, Ugvula El Svasa Soviv, Elu Akronos. That refers to the corners. Because remember, again, the top of the Mizbeach was not flat, but rather the corners themselves were raised. Zeh Gav Mizbeach, Zeh Mizbeach Hazav. That refers to the golden altar. So we'll say, the Gemara just suggests, this is actually interesting, Mechlokas Rashi and Tosfos Zohar, which we're not going to get into, but we'll just go with Rashitas Rashi. Rashi understands that all of these measurements over here mentioned by the Mizbeach were all five Amma Tfachim. So we'll say, so even the opinion who holds that in general, when we speak about Amos, an Amma is always a six Tefach Amma, will agree that there is a case of a five Tefach Amma. What's the five Tefach Amma case? The Mizbeach. Good. So we'll say, so it turns out, this is really quite dramatic, because we'll say, so much of our lives are built on Amos. Right? And isn't it incredible that the fundamental unit of measurement in our lives for everything is subject to machlokas? So Moses said, let's just bring the machlokas together. So machlokas Abaye and Rava, which turns out to be machlokas Tanoim. So right, Abaye says, halacha lemaisa, the ama of Sukkah and Mavoy are an ama of five tefachim, the ama of Kilaya Karim is six tefachim. And I will say, just to understand what's driving Abaye Shita is we use the measurement of an ama that produces the greatest amount of chumras, that produces stringencies. I should say produces, that creates a more stringent shear. So therefore, five tefachim by sukkah and mavoi, six tefachim by kalaya kerem. Rava disagrees. All amas are six tefachim. The only thing that varies is what we'll call a tight tefach versus a loose tefach. Sukkah and mavoi have a tight tefach. Ultimately, again, Sukkah Yakim has a loose tefach. Machlokes Reb Shlomo Tanakama. Turns out, so according to Abaye, this is a machlokes Tanoim. According to Rava, not so clear that it's a machlokes. So we'll say, so that's the fundamental machlokes. How do we pass in Halacha Lemaisa? Let's say we pass in like Rava, that all amas are six tefach amas. Now, the interesting discussion about whether or not they're shochakos or atzavos, if they're tight tefachim or not tight tefachim. So that sometimes is a little bit dependent. But lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, like for Hilchos Shabbos, for Hilchos Sukkah, for Hilchos Klal Yakerem. And that's it. You could even see, even in the Ein Mishpat, on Gimel Amud Beis, by Os Yud Beis, you could see over here, that he quotes over here, this is in Yaradeh, which is the halachas of Klal Yakerem, and in Arachayim, the halachas of Shabbos, and the halachas of Sukkah. In all of these cases, we paskin like Rava, that an Amma is made up of six Tefachim. Beautiful. Now, boss, we come to a great sugya, a really incredible sugya. I just want to share with you something. Okay, so listen to this. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. It's a very exciting Gemara. Shiurin Chatz. So we'll say, the reason why these are exciting, every Gemara is exciting, but the reason why these are also very exciting Gemaras is because these are like very sodistic Gemaras, fundamental concepts that we all know, but now we have an opportunity to kind of really grapple and delve into them more. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said the name of Rav, Shiurin Chatzitzin Umichitzin. Halacha l'moshim, he said, you know this is going to be good. Right? So shi'urim, we'll say shi'urim means a shir. Okay, we don't know what shi'urim yet. Shi'urim, so shi'urim, chatzitzin. Chatzitz are interpositions, right? Things that go ahead and serve as a barrier, ultimately for tzvila, for immersion in the mikvah. U'mechitzin. And mechitzin, so mechitzin are mechitzas, right? Partitions. All of these are halacha l'moshe misinai. So I say, so what does this mean? What does this mean? See, here we go. The Gemara says, Gemara says as follows. So Shi'urin Daraisa, who dichsir, we'll say, where do we learn out the concept of Shi'urin? Where do we learn out the concept of Shi'urin? So the Gemara says, Eretz Chita Usora, Gefen Te'in of Rimon Erez Eshem Rudvash. So this is actually quite dramatic. Where do we learn out the concept of Shi'urin? From the Shiva Saminim, last week's parasha. Right? So learn out the concept of Shi'urin, ultimately, again, from the seven species with which Eretz Yisrael is blessed. So we'll say, what does this mean? But Amar Rav Chanan, this is great Gemara. Kala pasuk hazel shiurin ne'amar. This entire pasuk is here to teach us shiurim. How so? Watch this. Chita. What do I learn from chita? Chita's wheat. What do I learn from chita? L'chidis nan. Hanichnas labayis haminuga. The kelev al ksefer. Listen to this. You walk into a home that is afflicted with tsaras. So what's the halacha? If you walk in, and your utensils, right, which means, so let's say your clothing is folded on your shoulder. So we'll say, so let's say, imagine, you might still be fully clothed, but let's say, again, you walk in, you have a pair of pants that's folded on your shoulder, right, folded on your shoulder. This sandala v'taba osav biadav, and I'm holding my shoes, and I'm holding my rings. What's talacha? Hu v'heim t'meim miyad. So we'll say, in that moment, both my person, my body, as well as the clothing that I am carrying, become tummy instantaneously. So just let's understand what's happening over here. So halacha l'maaseh, when you walk into a home that is afflicted with saras, you acquire tumas aguf, bodily tumah, immediately. What the Gemara is now teaching me is, if I'm not wearing my clothing, but I'm holding my clothing, then halacha l'maaseh, my clothing becomes tummy instantaneously as well. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, So the pasuk says, if you walk into a house that is afflicted with saras, you become tummy immediately. So therefore, again, my body becomes tummy immediately no matter what. I have tumas aguf. And if I'm holding my clothing as opposed to wearing my clothing, then halacha l'maisa, my clothing becomes tummy immediately. Okay, now, but watch this. However, let's say I'm wearing my clothing normally. So I'm not clearing any clothing. I'm just wearing things normally. What's the halacha? Hu tummy miyad v'hein tohorin ad sheyishe b'chdei achilas pras. We'll see, now watch this. If, however, halacha l'maisa, I walk in wearing my clothing, my body always becomes instantaneously tummy. But if I'm wearing my clothing, my clothing doesn't become tummy immediately. My clothing only becomes tummy if I tarry or linger in the home for some amount of time. And how much time do you have to linger in the home? Watch this. The amount of time, b'chdei achilas pras, the amount of time that we'll say pras for our purposes now literally means a half a loaf. If you linger in the home for the amount of time that it takes to eat half a loaf of bread. And what kind of bread? Paschitin. Wheat bread. V'lo pasorin. Not barley bread. Mesav v'ocha b'liftan. The amount of time that it'll take you to eat half a loaf of bread, wheat bread, reclining with relish, with some type of condiment. Look at your Rashi for just a moment. This is really very interesting halacha. Hayalavush kelov v'chein kulam derech levishas and kriyim begadav v'betilin etzol ksiv v'ocha b'vayisi chabeses begadav v'der shirim v'taras kanim mikra d'hai ocha lav achila namish ela shiyushe g'day shir achila u'bebiya b'lo shia inim atam begadav. So therefore, Rabbi says, the pasuk says, v'ocha b'vayisi chabeses begadav. If a person eats in the house, write a house afflicted with tzaras, he'll have to launder. Launder, of course, means purify his clothing. So Chazal understand that when it says he's going to eat in the house, eating doesn't literally mean eating. What does eating mean? Eating means the amount of time it takes to eat. So how much time do you have to linger inside of a home in order for the clothing that you're wearing in order to become tamei? Enough time to eat a half a loaf of chita, wheat bread, reclining with a condiment, with a relish. So Rashi says, pras is dalet beitzim, skip down a little bit. Paschitin ein shaba ke pas oren. So we'll say, so apparently, you could eat wheat bread faster than you could eat barley bread. I guess it goes down a little bit easier. So we'll say, this you should know, this is the shir of kidei achilles pras. This shir is very important for us also in halacha. You have to eat matzah b'chidei achilles pras. If you're eating on Yom Kippur, a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, we try to span it out beyond b'chidei achilles pras. Okay, but in any event, the Gemara says, so this, we'll say, this is what we learn from the word chita. This is what we learn from the word chita. Right, so from chita, I learned that what? That Allah said, clothing becomes tameh if you remain in a home afflicted with tzaras. Clothing becomes tameh if you wait there. The amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread. Okay, what I learned from Sa'ora, what I learned from barley. Disnan etzem ki Sa'ora metameh b'mago b'masa. So from Sa'ora I learned that what? That if you have a bone fragment the size of a kernel of barley, it is metameh b'mago b'masa. If you touch that bone fragment, if you carry that bone fragment, ultimately, again, you will become tamei. However, ain't a time but ohel. But Allah says such a small bone fragment does not convey tumas ohel. Does not convey tumas ohel. Fine. Tumas ohel means being under the same roof, of course, as a corpse. Doesn't convey corpse tumah under. So that's what I learned from Sa'ora. Next, Geffen. What I learned from Geffen? Kedei revias yayin l'nazir. So we'll say from Geffen I learned that for a nazir, if a nazir drinks a revius of wine, ultimately, again, he is going to get the malchus. Beautiful. I mean, not for him, but for us. So Gemara says, Amud Beis, Te'ina, what learned from Te'ina, from Fig, B'kigro geres lo tza b'shabbos. So we'll say, so Te'ina teaches me that Allah ha'lamaisa, how much of a food item do you have to carry in order to be chayiv for otza on Shabbos? The size of a dried fig. Rashi says, Gro geres, hi Te'ina yevesha, Ubashi uro kol ochel adam le'inyan hotzas v'shabbos. Fine. Rimon. What learn from Rimon? Okay, this land called klei balibatim shiurim kerimon. Also, we've seen this halacha many times. A kli, if it becomes tamei, retains its tumah status until it loses its functionality as a kli. And when does a kli lose its functionality? When it has a hole that is so big, that halacha lemaisa, you can't even contain pomegranates in it. It was really very interesting about human nature. If I have a utensil, let's say I have a utensil that was a receptor, a grape bowl, and then it develops a hole. So okay, I can't use it for grapes. I'll use it for figs. And then if the hole gets bigger, I'll use it for apples. And after it gets bigger, I'll use it for whatever. But after it gets to a certain size, you can no longer go ahead and use it anymore. So if you have a utensil that has a hole the size of a pomegranate, at that point in time, it's just simply no longer usable. That's a rimon. Good. Zeis shemen. What do I will say from, again, zayis olives. What do I learn from that? Eretz shekol shiura kezeisim. That Eretz Yisrael is a land where all of its shiurim are kezeis. What do you mean all of his shiurim? You just got finished saying chita, saora, geffen, te'ena, rimon. You just gave a whole bunch of different shiurim. So what do you mean the land, all of its shiurim is a kezayis? Rather, the Gemara says, no. Ela ema eretz sherov shiureha kezesim. So we'll say the truth is, in general, the shiur, especially for food-related items, is usually a kezayis. The majority of items have a shiur of kezayis. These shiurim that we're mentioning are more the outliers. Divash, what I learned from Divash, I will say, understand, of course, that when we speak about honey in the context of Eretz Yisrael, Rashi points out, honey for Eretz Yisrael is date honey. It is not bee honey. It's date honey. So what I learned from Divash, Kikoseve Sagas Nemikipar. I will say, from Divash, I learned that what? That halacha lemaisa for Yom Kippur, you're chayiv if you eat the size of a large date. It's interesting enough, the shear for achila on Yom Kippur ultimately again is koseves gasa. Is ultimately again. So if you look at Rashi, he says over here. Actually, we don't have to get into Rashi. That's koseves gasa. So we'll say. So ultimately, again, this is what we learn from the pasuk of the Shiva Saminim. So Shiva Saminim teaches us all of the shiurim for everything. V'tizbara, shiur and michtav ksivi. So the Gemara says, come on, right? The Pasuk is talking about the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk is not talking about any of these. I mean, this is a riveting Gemara, but at the end of the day, does the Pasuk really speak to these things? The Gemara says, you're right. In reality, all of these shiurim we just mentioned are all halacha l'Moshe Misinai, but rather v'asmichinu rabbanon akroi. The rabbis just kind of, it's called an asmachta, but a different kind of asmachta. Normally when we say asmachta, it's an asmachta. You have a din derabbanon, a rabbinic law, and the rabbis find a scriptural allusion for the rabbinic law. This is different. This is daraisa. All of these shiurim that we just mentioned are all daraisa. Right, because ultimately, again, these are halacha l'moshe misinai. So again, all the Gemara is just simply saying is that halacha l'maisa, these are halacha l'moshe misinai, but Chazal found the scriptural allusion in the Torah. Quite beautiful. So I saw there's a magnificent idea by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov says, listen to this. He says, "V'lemeidim anu mikan sha'af api shalach ora pashtus inyan azay minim shenishtav chameres Yisrael hu peros greida v'zed davar gashmi." So listen to what Baal Shem Tov says. Now, the Pasuk is talking about the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And again, the Pasuk is talking about the fact that the Eretz Yisrael is blessed with beautiful gashmius, beautiful physicality. Again, I will say, there's no deeper meaning to, we'll see. Eretz chita sora, saying Eretz Yisrael has wheat, has barley, has fruit, has grapes, has wine, has oil, has everything, has honey. So, Bashan, but what's the message? What are Chazal trying to convey to us? Amnam nirmas b'gimara, shekal hazayin minim inyanim ze ruchnius. See, Rabbi, what the Gemara is trying to highlight over here, do you know what the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is? The beauty of Eretz Yisrael is that the Gashmius is Ruchnius also. That even that which is physical, by definition has an incredible dimension of spirituality as well. The Kulam Ba'u, Shekol Zayin Minim, in Yanim Ze Ruchnius, the kulum ba'u b'shil ha-Torah u'kidei l'mod mehem ha-shiuri ha-Torah b'zeh inyan peiros sh'nishtab chabem Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, what does it mean? That these are the peiros, these are the fruits which Eretz Yisrael was blessed. It means, we'll say, you know, what's the greatest challenge of life? What is the greatest challenge of life? The greatest challenge is the constant pull between ruchnius and gashmius. The constant pull between physicality and spirituality, between material and the spiritual. We spend our lives engaging in this battle. And sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. You always say, you know what the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is? The power of Eretz Yisrael is that the peiros of Eretz Yisrael themselves, which are gashmi, are endowed with ruchnius. So we'll say, where are you learning out some of the most pivotal halachas? Pivotal halachas? From fruit. From something material, you are gleaning something so profoundly spiritual. So when Chazal tell us that the Zayin Minim are the peros shenishtabcha b'hem Eretz Yisrael, these are the fruits with which Eretz Yisrael was blessed. What's the blessing? I don't say we don't have grain or barley in America. You don't have fruit elsewhere in the world. No, what it means is that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, that gashmius, has an incredible dimension of ruchnius as well. That's the power of Eretz Yisrael. See, Rabbi say, everywhere else, it is our job to bring out the ruchnius from the gashmius. But in Eretz Yisrael, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, by definition, are endowed with this additional dimension of holiness. It's there. V'haraya, Chazal learn out all of these incredible halachas from what? From the peros shenishtab chabam Eretz Yisrael. Such an incredible insight. Good, let's go by to chatzitzin d'orai. So Rabbi say, it's great gemaras. So what does it mean when we say that it's chatzitzin? So interpositions, things that go ahead and interfere with the tevila. So chatzitin darais enenu dichsiv v'rachatz es bisara b'mayim. The pasuk says he will wash his flesh in water. So we'll say, what do we learn from here? Shelo yehit davar chotzeitz bein bisara l'mayim. Ultimately, again, that there should be nothing that goes ahead and interposes or interrupts between your body and the water. No chatzitza. B'mayim, from the word b'mayim, I learned that well. B'may mikvah, that you can't just immerse in any body of water. It has to be a mikvah. Kol b'sara, what does kol b'sara teach me? Mayim shekol gufa od lebahen. It has to be enough water to immerse your entire body. The kamahein, we'll say, how much water is that? How much water do you need to immerse your entire body? The Gemara says, barom gimel amas. Ama alam barom gimel amas. 3 cubic amas. So I'll say 3 cubic amas, we normally translate as 40. So, 40 saw. So as it's interesting of how much is 40 saw. Obviously, it's bimachlokas. Suppose him for our purposes, we'll just go with an amount of 200 gallons. So 200 gallons ultimately, again, is the amount of water that you need in order to go ahead and have a proper mikvah that is capable of covering the entire body with water. Here we go. Here we go. Mem saw. Good. Shabbos says, so again, what the Gemara is saying over here is, I don't understand, why do I need a halacha l'mosh misinai? It's a pretty explicit pasuk. Brachatis bisaro b'mayim. Your flesh must come in contact with the water. There could be nothing that interposes it between your body and the water. So what's the halacha l'mosh misinai? Watch this. We'll say, where is the halacha l'mosh misinai necessary? L'sa'aro, for your hair. Brachatu adunai adeinu malachol l'mshakol miyebitvaro. For your hair. Kidurabba barafuna, dama barafuna. Listen to this. Neima achas kshura chotzetzes. If you have one hair that's knotted, that's a chatzitza. Shalosh eno chotzitzos. If there are three hairs knotted, that's not a chatzitza. Shtayim eno there. Two hairs knotted, I don't know. So we'll say, so interesting enough, what's the pshat over here? If it's one hair that's knotted, it could be a very tight knot. If it's a very tight knot, I don't know why I'm reaching in my head. I'm the wrong person to read this. Right, we'll say if you have one hair that's knotted, halacha l'maisa again, halacha l'maisa, that could be a very tight knot, would prevent the water from accessing. Three hairs, it's thick enough that it's not going to be a very tight knot, therefore the water could touch every piece. Two hairs, we're not sure. You must understand, saro nami daraisuhu. Hair is also daraisuhu. I don't need a halacha l'moshim, it's explicit. The sound of rachatz as called bisaro, as hatafal bisaro. So we'll say, when the pasuk says, v'rachatz es kol b'sar, you have to make sure all of your flesh, kol, that comes to include even that which is secondary to your body. What does that refer to? V'zeo se'ar. That refers to hair, to which the Gemara says, so we'll say, so what is the halacha l'moshe misina by chatzitza coming to teach me? Rather, we'll say, here we go, this is incredible. Ki asa hilfasa l'rubo u'lemi'uto hamakpid. Here we go. We'll say this is incredibly important. Devar Torah midda oraisa rubo umakbir alav chotzeitz. We'll say midda oraisa. The definition of a chatzitza is something that covers the majority of the body, and you don't want it there. So rubo umakbir covers the majority of the body, and again, a person is makbir. A person does not want that chatzitza there. That's a chatzitza. That's a chatzitza. V'she'ino makbir alav ino chotzeitz. But we'll say, if you're not makbid on something, technically speaking, even if it covers a large part of the body, halacha l'maisa, it is not the chatzitza. That is the da'oraisa. However, v'gazru al rubo she'ino makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. But Chazal said that halacha l'maisa, if something covers the majority of the body, even if you're not makbid, it's still going to be asra. It's still going to be problematic as chatzitza. V'al mi'uto ha-makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid. And furthermore, they also said that if something even covers a very small part of the body, but you are makbid on that, we're going to go ahead and say that's problematic, lest it lead to a case of rubo ha-makbid. So both sides, see here what's happening over here? Midda oraisa, the definition of a chatzitza has to satisfy two criteria. Rov and makbid. Covers a large part of the body, and you are makbid, you don't want it there. Chazal essentially came along and said that if you have a chatzitza that satisfies either one of those two criteria, even rubo ve'eno makbid, or miut u'makbid, right? So even if something covers a large part of the body but you don't care about it, or it covers a small part of the body but you do care about it, those are considered to be chatzitzos as well. I says the Gemara, v'ligzor nami al mi'uto she'eno makbid, mishum mi'uto makbid. So if that's the case, why not go ahead and make a gzera? Even on something that is covers a very small part of the body and you don't care about it, lest you come to have a chatzitza that is mi'uto ha-makbid, covers a small part in your makbid, to which the Gemara says, inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid, hi gufa gzera, va'ano nikom v'negzar gzera le'gzera, to which the Gemara says, no, because this itself is a gzera. There's only so many levels you're going to impose upon this. Therefore, both sides, when the Gemara says that halacha l'maisa, that chatzitzos are halacha l'moshe misinai, which chatzitzos are, so we just learned a whole bunch of halachas, right? So ultimately, again, the fact that there can't be any chatzitza, that's a daraisa, that's a pasuk in the Torah. The fact that hair could be a chatzitza, that's a pasuk in the Torah. So what is the halacha l'moshe misinai? The halacha l'moshe misinai is the definition of a chatzitza. What is a chatzitza? Has to satisfy two criteria. To be daraisa is rubo u'makbit. Where do you see that in the Torah? The answer is you don't. That's the halacha l'moshe misina. So halacha l'moshe misina by chatzitzos is that it has to be ruba umakbid. That's the halacha. And then midrabanon, we say even if it satisfies one of those criteria, even if it satisfies the criteria ultimately again of just rubo, but you're not makbid, or you are makbid even if it's a miyut, then midrabanon that'll be a chatzitzos. So we'll say this halacha obviously has major ramifications for hilchos nida. Also has ramifications l'maisa for tevilas kalim as well, about something rubo makbid miyut eino makbid. Okay, not for now. Mechitzos daraisa. So we'll say, what's the case of mechitzos daraisa? So the Gemara says, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem with the last halacha of Moshe Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.